Welcome to the practice of hesychastic prayer, also known as the prayer of the heart, or more simply, the Jesus prayer. This is an ancient prayer practice. It goes all the way back to the origins of Christianity. The intention of hesychastic prayer is to fully unite the human soul with God. I'll say that one more time, that the intention of hesychastic prayer is ultimately to fully unite the human soul with God. The word hesychastic simply comes from the Greek word for quiet. By practicing this prayer, you'll cultivate a quiet stillness in your heart. Both Scripture and the living tradition teach us that God speaks to us in the quiet of our heart. As such, when our heart is calm and centered on Jesus, we become more sensitive to God's voice and are prepared to receive a peace which is described as passing all our understanding. In this recording, I'm going to briefly speak about the history and meaning of hesychastic prayer so that you can have a basic understanding of the origins of the practice. After that, we'll spend a few minutes practicing the prayer together. From the very beginnings of Christianity, Christians have sought to respond to a shared calling to love the Lord God with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. Inspired by the words of St. Paul in 1 Thessalonians to pray without ceasing, some early Christians chose to venture out into the desert to devote themselves to living the deepest meaning of ceaseless prayer. They committed themselves to a life focused entirely on praying and meditating on the gospel, day and night. In their activities, in their stillness and quiet, seeking to enter into the fullest possible union with God. It was in the desert that hesychastic prayer, or prayer of the heart, first took shape with the words, "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me." Early versions of these words appear multiple times in the Gospels. When the two blind men in the Gospel of Luke chapter 18 called out to Jesus, they cried, "Jesus, have mercy on me." Similarly, the repentant tax collector in Jesus' parable prayed, "God, have mercy on me." By prayerfully repeating the words, "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me," we immerse our hearts in the spirit of the gospel message. Over the next six practice sessions, you'll begin spiritually entering into a greater stillness of heart by mindfully praying the Jesus Prayer. We'll explore more deeply the meaning of the name Jesus, as well as what it means for God to be merciful. You will also learn how to identify and resolve patterns of thought which might be drawing you away from God, and how to bring them to Christ in prayer. At the end of this first recording, we'll enter together into the practice of the prayer of the heart. One of the first things we need to do before we pray the Jesus Prayer is to recognize that for Christians, God is a person. Christianity thus teaches that God is not only a spiritual force or a higher power, as good as those may be, but rather God is a living being who is intelligent and loving, and who has a mind and a will. In other words, for a believing Christian to repeat the phrase, "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me," it's different than repeating a mantra. It's an attempt to speak to God, a living person, and ask for mercy. The name of Jesus itself is derived from Hebrew words that literally mean "the Lord is salvation," or more simply, "God saves." It's worth reflecting on how profound it is that the name Jesus, or Yeshua, is itself a complete prayer. When you simply speak the name Jesus, if you mindfully do so from your heart, each utterance of the name of Jesus can be a prayer of celebration and praise that the Lord is salvation and God saves. Over time, Christians who were committed to practicing the Jesus Prayer began to write about their experiences. They described their personal spiritual journey and development, and they compiled notes about the things they learned. Eventually, these notes were gathered into collections of spiritual writings about prayer. The most famous of these is called the Philokalia, a Greek word that means love of beauty, which was assembled in the 18th century by monks living on Mount Athos in Greece. As I said before, hesychastic prayer is sometimes called prayer of the heart because the intention of hesychastic prayer is for the words to move from the lips to the mind, and then from the mind to the heart. The hesychastic tradition distinguishes between the mind, with its wandering and dispersed thoughts, and the heart, the center of the human person. In the prayer, the mind descends into the heart in the sense that our ordinarily fragmented and distracted minds are quieted, focused, and brought into a deeper awareness of the truth. The truth that we seek in all truths, and the beauty that we long for in all beauties, which Christians namely call Jesus Christ. In this process, God is believed to be encountered through direct awareness, rather than through ideas or concepts. An experience of God's presence can then become part of a personally transformative process, often called repentance, which includes an examination of personal conscience and a willingness to let yourself really ask for mercy from the core of your heart. If you're new to a contemplative or a meditative prayer life, cultivating internal silence and stillness might itself be a struggle for you, and that's okay. It's worth knowing in advance that when we begin to descend into the heart, we might discover unpleasant opposition such as resentment, hurt, or fear, challenging feelings that we spend much of our time trying to ignore or trying to numb and escape. This is why spiritual masters have long warned that in hesychasm and other contemplative practices, the bad may sometimes come before the good. This is normal, and it counterintuitively can mean that you are doing the prayer right as you become more aware of things that you've been keeping hidden from your own heart. You're embarking here on a great spiritual journey. It's one that can really last for a lifetime and become a source of peace and spiritual consolation that you can return to any time in life. Really try to remember that the aim of hesychastic prayer is to experience the fullest possible communion with Christ. The hesychast, in other words, is a person who seeks ever-deepening quiet in their heart and learns for themselves the truth of what Jesus taught when he said, "The kingdom of God is within you." Some hesychasts from the 13th century right down to the present have reported that during their prayerful union with God, their hearts and bodies were filled with God's energies in ways that were beyond words. Words from Scripture used to describe this phenomenon are taken from St. Peter, where he describes being partakers of the divine nature. Any experiences that you have over the course of your upcoming practice of prayer, consider jotting them down to honor them and to remember them. Over the course of the next 5 teaching sessions and the 6 practice sessions together, we'll dive more deeply into key aspects of the hesychastic tradition. For example, we'll spend more time unpacking the Philokalia's distinction between the mind and the heart, and learn more about the depth of union with Christ that hesychasts have sought. I'm grateful for your interest in this tradition, and I look forward to journeying deeper into it with you.